You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3.
Final hour, Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app and up on TSN 2.
You were just talking in the break about how people are outraged and by whatever percentage. I think it was like 2 over the team below them. And they I always thought, like, did Shanny go up to Jerry and say, how about the Leafs win this one? Like, I just wonder.
Sure, there were.
Because I'm sure there are conspiracy theories where these kinds of things have happened, but you just wonder how the initial kind of. Like, for that to happen, you would have to have something pretty bad on Gary Bettman, right?
Well, and you can't leave a paper trail either.
Right? Dude, no kidding!
That's the thing. And the thing is, there are guys, you know, every team is represented in the lottery room.
Right.
And, like, the NBA won a few nights ago. Alvin Gentry, the head coach of the Pelicans, was in there. Did you see his reaction when they won?
No.
Incredible reaction. Like, originally, he was trying to be subdued, and then he just said, screw it. He put his hands up, and he starts going, like, yes! He starts walking around. He's high-fiving guys. And, like, people, like, the other managers or coaches are like, sit down. Like, yeah, I get it. You're jacked up that you won that. But we didn't,
right.
And now I got to sit in this room for an hour, and you're going to be pumping your chest out and all jacked up. But that's exactly how you should react, and that's how I hope Shanahan reacted.
Ray Shiro, like Ray Shiro, had like a smile. That was it. Like,
yeah, no, exactly. Like, why not show the emotion? Like, that's what you're there to do, is win the lottery. If you win a big playoff series, you go crazy. Yeah. If you're a brutal team, the only thing you have to win is the draft lottery.
Yeah.
So if you win it, you might as well get jacked up. But
I agree.
Yeah, I don't buy the conspiracy theories with the draft lottery, but they're easy to understand why they might happen.
Oh,
it's easy to spin it and sell yourself on it.
Like, I was obviously kidding about things that, like, because you just think about things, well, they work together in New York, and we want to rebuild the Leafs for the league.
And I
But let's not kid ourselves. There have been things that have happened in the sports world. Like the referee in the NBA that got busted, the Irish guy.
Yeah, Tim Donaghy.
Tim Donaghy. How many situations have been going on like that where people have no idea that the outcome was rigged?
Mm-hmm.
Believe me, if you don't think it's just in sports, sounds like it's in politics, it's in world everything.
Yeah.
Like there may be a guy on his deathbed that admits, like, yeah, I know who killed Kennedy. I know who did that. Like, it wouldn't surprise me if Trump at some point. It's like, I know all these things from behind the curtain.
Well, he's got access to it all.
That's
now.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you know, all these conspiracy theories, we talk about it in sports. What about in the world? Like, there's a lot of, like...
But you've got to accept it. That's the other right. Part of it.
If you believe in it.
Exactly. That's like, some guy could walk into the studio right now and say, you know, I know that...
This happened.
Whatever happened.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean we're going to believe him.
No.
But he could be telling the truth.
Right, we don't know, but
it could be.
There are, as we know with anything, whether it's in business or sport, it never looks like it is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're a prime example. Like, we're a professional show, but we know what we are as far as how things work behind the scenes.
Yeah, it's pretty choppy.
Let's put it that way.
Pretty choppy back there.
Yeah. Sometimes. I mean, those guys keep us together.
Yeah, Mullen and the Grappler are doing their jobs.
The Grappler has oven mitts on every day, just battling.
Yeah, he's in the corners, elbows up, working on behalf of the show. But, like, I think it's easy with officiating is the easiest conspiracy theory to buy into if your team gets burned.
But I'm always fascinated with the guy that approaches the referee. Like, what do? Do you just meet him at breakfast when he's having breakfast saying, any interest in this? But if you're the ref, wouldn't you be crapping your pants saying, God, if I get busted doing this?
Well, you got to be deep in the hole to do that.
Weren't there players in college that were throwing games?
Yeah, that's happened. Like shaving points.
Right, shaving points.
That's happened.
I know for a fact. And this
busted
in
shaving points?
Yes.
Yeah. Like Henry Hill. And,
yeah, there's like movies about it and stuff. Yeah. But I know for a fact it's happened in European leagues where... A guy I played with told me, he said, at the starting of the game, both captains get together and say, this is going to be the score tonight. And he said, with a minute left, it's 3-2, and they've decided it's going to be 3-3. And the goalie goes to make a save and pulls his glove out of the way, and they make it 3-3. In professional hockey leagues.
Absolutely.
What about the guy, the soccer goalie that was eating a pork sandwich?
The meat pie. That guy. But that was a prop. That had nothing to do with the outcome of the game. He was just
sitting.
But
Brian, there was a bet before the game. The goalie's going to eat a pork sandwich. And all of a sudden he was.
Oh, I understand that. But what I'm saying is he didn't. The bet wasn't he's going to give up five goals, and he gave up five goals.
Right. It was kind of like a harmless.
Yeah, harmless, because you see those at the Super Bowl all the time. Like the winning team is going to pour orange Gatorade on the coach, blue Gatorade. They control it.
Right.
Like it has nothing to do with the outcome of the game or how it played out. But those players or their family members, like if you're a captain of a team,
right,
you're going to be Gatorade guy. Yeah. You could go to your greasy uncle or degenerate cousin and say, I'm telling you, put 15 grand down on this because when we win and we feel good about this, I am the guy pouring the Gatorade and it will be red Gatorade.
Right.
Put 15 grand on red Gatorade.
Yeah.
And Vegas is never going to know. Vegas isn't going to find that out.
Well, you go back to the real world, like insider trading. Like that's what people do in the business. A little stock tip here and there. Like,
yeah, but the guy that's, I don't know.
I just think
whoever makes the Gatorade obviously knows the answer, so.
Yeah. Oh, I know that. That's, like, we've talked about, we've had this discussion before, where the unwritten rule in the gambling world is, if you have a tip, you've got it, you spread the word, because why give the books more money? Why give the house more money?
Right.
You know? And if you can find that out, like, if you, let's say somehow, again, at the Super Bowl, you're watching Pink, you know, sing the anthem. You got the clock out. You're like, she's taped it. Like, it's not even going to be live. I know it's going over the number. Tell everybody.
Right.
Like, why not?
No, yeah, rinse the books.
Absolutely. Tell everybody that it's going over the number.
But then I would go to the contrary of that because it'll get back. Somebody's got a big mouth. I just made 50 grand because that guy gave me the tip. And it gets back to you.
But I don't think it's illegal. Like, Vegas, what are they going to do? Like, the MGM Grand or whatever, they can't sue the guy who happened to be in the building.
I think a guy with a tracksuit shows up.
Well, yeah.
My
concern, my paranoia would be, I'm telling all these people to put a mortgage payment down, and what if she changes something?
Yeah, exactly.
And then it's under the number, and then they're coming after me.
Yeah,
that's the concern,
that would be a fear for me, too, is you jam up not just yourself, but, like, many people that you care about.
Right, and you got to get on the over in the anthem,
I'm giving you the wink, and then it goes south.
Yeah.
And you've got no answer.
Well, then you just basically get excommunicated right out of the family. You're out.
Yeah, it's terrible.
You're out.
I've seen it once with a stock tip, and it went south.
Dangerous game.
There were some real pissed
That's
people
real money.
They lost real money.
And especially if you don't have a lot of money, and you're investing whatever you have in this stock tip, and it goes south.
Yeah, it was.
Watch yourself.
Hundreds of thousands of dollars, and people wanted to choke this guy out. Like,
I guess
it was not good.
All right, last night, first three quarters were a blast if you're a Raptor fan.
Yeah,
and then the fourth quarter, they hit a wall. You know, again, we've been saying all afternoon, I didn't have a problem systematically with the way they played. Their effort was fine.
Yeah,
couple of players in particular, Danny Green's a guy taking a lot of heat today. He looked a bit scared. To take the big shot. You know, he's a catch-and-shoot guy. He's not ever going to create on his own. But he had opportunities to put up shots, and he didn't do it in the fourth. But it's only one game. And we'll head down to Milwaukee now. Here's our main man, Rod Black. What's happening, Rod?
Hey, guys. How are you?
We're good.
Doing okay.
Hey, by the way, it'll be a hey, guys, tomorrow. Guess who's rolling into Milwaukee?
Who?
Sammy Mitchell.
No way.
Wow.
Sam Mitchell is.
We're bringing in the artillery.
Hey,
he's
guys.
He's coming home.
Wow. He will be calling me Dave tomorrow.
Exactly.
I can't wait for that. That will be spectacular because he never gets my name right.
You hear that one, Roddy? He called Brian Dave for...
Oh, like a year and a half. And here's the best part about it.
That's hilarious. That's Sammy, though.
Here's the best part, Rod, is that it was back when I was doing the midday show, and Steph was producing for us, and I was on the talkback. I'm like, you got to tell him it's not Dave. So the next time he stops talking, pick up the phone and say, hey, it's not Dave, it's Brian.
Yeah.
So Sam stops talking, and then I get going on a rant because I know Steph needs a little bit of time to relay the message.
Yeah.
And I also said, but don't tell him to acknowledge it. Just the next time he says my name, just say my name.
Yeah.
Anyway, he blew past that stop sign. Next time he starts talking, he goes, oh, and by the way, sorry for calling you Dave, Ryan. Starts calling me Ryan. It was spectacular. And he's a guy that can get away
classic.
With that.
That's, yeah. That's so Sam.
Yeah, he's a
but
beauty.
He's great. And, you know, he's a great observationalist. He's a great coach, as we all know. And he's good on TV, and he gets it. And we're happy to have him back starting tomorrow. So that's awesome.
Agreed.
Roddy, we were talking earlier, we can break things down, star performances, strategies, hustle plays, but we had a guest on earlier who basically summed it up. It's a make-or-miss league, and whoever makes the shots is going to win the game. Is that basically how you sum up last night, and they just got to go back at it and try to make the shots the next game?
Yeah, I think, O-Dog, that's about it. You know, you think, you know, they're professionals. It's the NBA Eastern Finals. You'd think that, you know, they make, and you watch them in warm-ups, you watch them make shot after shot after shot, but it's become also a three-point line game. And I just think when body parts are constricting a little bit, and the number one thing is that team last night, that Raptor team, you said it, Brian, is that, or Dave, you said it. you said it, that they hit a wall.
Yep.
And they got so tired, and Jack Armstrong and I, you know, we didn't have the game last night. We were, you know, we had a real close-up.
I saw your courtside a lot last night.
It was crazy. I don't even know how we got there, but whatever. That's what happens when you sneak in. But anyway, it was fascinating being there, and you could see it. They were just Kawhi, you know, dripping with sweat. To Pascal, they were all grabbing their shorts, and they were exhausted, and you kind of felt that would happen after Game 7. You know, you had the day rest. For three quarters, they looked the superior team, there's no doubt. But then this guy named Brook Lopez, who had more points last night than he had the entire playoffs, the entire previous series, and defensively. And they were turning down shots. Kyle Lowry, on the other hand, was hitting everything in sight.
Right.
But I also do believe, and I think we talked about this last week, like sometimes it was 198, I guess, with 3.5 to go. They had great opportunities to just get in tight or even get to the line, but instead they were jacking up threes. And here's Marc Gasol taking the three. Pascal Siakam was taking threes. And I can tell you, they were way off. They weren't even close. So, you know, that's a roundabout way of saying it. Yeah, they were missing their shots, but also your legs go first when your shot is off, and they were just so gassed. I expected a very different ball game tomorrow night.
With Rod Black, who's down in Milwaukee ahead of the game tomorrow night. You can hear that one right here on TSN 1050. I agree with you. I think Kawhi Leonard, you know, even in the fourth, was a microcosm of the whole team. He had some ugly-looking shots. And
who would have thought Kawhi Leonard never would have had a field goal in the fourth quarter?
Right.
That's crazy.
And that won't happen again. You know, that's one area where if I'm Nick Nurse, I'm like, that's fine. You know, it's not we wish he did last night, but he's not going to do that again tomorrow night.
Yeah. And Brooke Lopez isn't going to have that kind of game again.
No chance.
But here's the issue. Eric Bledsoe is not going to have that kind of game again because he was missing last night. And Giannis wasn't typical Giannis. I thought they did an amazing job on Giannis Antetokounmpo last night, just walling him. He never had an opportunity to get to the rim. And that's what you got to do. And I think they also focused so much on 34 that they kind of forgot about 11 at times. And here's Lopez coming out of nowhere and becoming the man of the hour.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was spectacular. I mean, you got to give credit where it's due. The guy, he's hitting shots from basically half court. Like that, it's not going to happen. Miritich had big shots in the fourth as well.
Now,
he hit a bomb.
Do you think Milwaukee had any rust on their game a little bit? Because, you know, in watching you know, they were 0 for 11 from threes in the third quarter. Like, they were clanking it around a little bit. That's why I kind of thought it was the Raptors' game to lose heading into that fourth quarter. And they didn't look as sharp, and I think the Raptors did a very good job defensively, but they certainly turned it up in the fourth.
Yeah, Jamie, I think you're so right. I think they did show some rust, and I think the Raptors were capitalizing in the first half. They looked so good in the first half. And again, from where we were sitting, the trajectory on the Bucks shots was so awful. I mean, they were throwing some bricks up there. They weren't even close, some of their, you know, some awful shots. But again, it's that make or miss thing that O-Dog talked about. You know, you keep shooting, they're eventually going to fall, or you can shoot yourself out as well. But that's where I go back to what I said before. Why, you know, you got a 2-point lead, or even at the time where it was a 10-point game, Milwaukee,
was clawing all the way back. Giannis missed a couple of free throws. There was a great opportunity there to, on a couple of trips, to just get the deuces, get those twos, to just, you know, build your lead back up to the 6 or 8 point advantage you once had. And you know, just that's the way the game rolled after that. And they just went silent at the end. And, you know, who would have thought a 10-0 run? And a Raptor team, by the way, guys, it's very good at closing things out generally. But they just looked spooked last night.
Yeah, I mean, a 7-point lead going into the fourth quarter, you can't ask for anything better than that.
Right.
If you can replicate
on
that
the
tomorrow
road.
Night, you'll sign that up. You're, exactly. If you can do that again tomorrow night, you take it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You've got to close. And
yeah, I'm sure you guys noticed this too. I just think, and you know, Leo and I chat about it all week. This is a completely different series compared to playing Philadelphia. You know, when they come at you with their Avengers list, you know, all these five guys who are so multifaceted and have all these different talents, and they play a different brand of basketball. Milwaukee's really, really good, but I do think that number, like everybody was saying, hey, Milwaukee's the best team in the NBA this year with record. Well, here's the thing. Kawhi only played 60 games. Giannis played 72. If Kawhi plays another 10 games, you try to tell me that they're not going to go 5-5. The Raptors would have been in first place by, you know, 3.5 games. So there's a big difference there. And I think what we're seeing is also two teams that don't even know each other from the regular season, because the last time they played was January 31st. And, you know, that's different. Different Raptor squad. Different Bucks squad, too. But, you know, I think as this is going to go a long way, I think, this series. And you're going to see different themes every game, as we saw with Philadelphia. But I just think it's going to be different basketball.
Yep, I'm with you on that. Enjoy it down there tomorrow night. Say hi to Sam for us, and we'll do it again next week at some point.
Hey, Dave, anytime.
Thank you, Rob.
Can't wait to see him, and can't wait to see you guys when we get back home.
All right, boy. There's Rob Black.
I was just thinking about the Bucks. Wasn't it not that long ago where, like, Jason Kidd, Giannis was like trying to save his job,
yeah,
asking him if he wanted to call the owners, and
yep,
it was
right.
A mess.
That's absolutely what happened.
And now they're just dynamite.
Well, they've got a rich history, like, you know, Lou Alcindor and Oscar Robertson, but you're going way, like, for a long time, they weren't much of a, you know, they had Ray Allen for a long time, but they were not, they were just a team in the NBA.
Yeah, well,
just
Golden State
team.
Was that for a long time, too.
Yeah.
They had good players there, but they never did anything. I would always have them in my franchises that are so irrelevant, they never do anything. And then they just turn the corner, you get a couple players, and you're in business.
That's what all it is, right? Like, and that's every single sport, it's the same thing. You get a couple of the right pieces.
Well, look at the Leafs.
There you go.
You throw them in there.
Quick turnaround.
Big market, blah, blah, blah.
But they
garbage
were a disaster.
Forever.
Yeah. Outside of it being Toronto, they were a completely irrelevant team. Like,
yeah,
based on the standings and wins and losses. They didn't do anything for a decade.
Right.
You know?
I agree. Did you just call Kareem Abdul-Jabbar Lou Alcindor?
Absolutely.
I caught that.
Yeah, he changed his name, I think, when he went to L.A.
Yeah.
But when he was in college at UCLA and in Milwaukee,
he was, yeah,
Lou Alcindor.
I'm like, I know that name.
I guess I could have said Kareem.
He read a piece.
He read a piece. But, yeah, you're like, Lou Alcindor. I'm like, that is Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Yeah, once like Cassius Clay.
Yeah.
Muhammad Ali.
You're right.
Thanks, Tips. I didn't know that.
He just
looked at me like,
I
just
know,
taught you
I know,
something.
I know.
Like, what an absolute goon.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Well,
there was panic in your eyes.
Oh, yeah. For Cassius Clay?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I knew that one. He was fantastic in the movie Airplane.
Lou Alcindor
was. Yeah, Lou Alcindor.
Yeah, just sweating.
That was such a funny movie. It's such an old movie in that,
yeah,
but that is... That was brilliant.
Yeah. That one holds up, I think, over time.
I think it does a little bit.
Bob McKenzie, your TSN Hockey Insider, will tee up game 4 tonight. Bruins, Canes. Does Carolina have a shot? And we'll get into what happened last night. You know, the hand passed heard around the world. Everyone's still talking about it. And let's see what Bob has to say about that. And if he believes momentum is so strong now that it's inevitable,
yeah,
things are going to change with the review process in the National Hockey League. Bob McKenzie, our Hockey Insider in studio next. All right, Bob McKenzie, your Hockey Insider in studio. What's happening, Bob?
Hey, boys, how you doing?
Oh, we're
all good.
Just debating review processes and officiating in the National Hockey
yeah
League. It's pretty tiring, isn't it?
It is. But
it's the story, though.
Buckle up, because it's important. I mean, I feel bad for the St. Louis Blues. You know, the wrong call was made, or no call was made, and there's nothing they can do about it. And then it remains to be seen what can be done about it when the playoffs are over. But as I said, buckle up, because there's probably more, not less, video review coming. And if there's more video review, then there's going to be more debates.
Right. Yeah, it feels
And hopefully more right calls than wrong calls. But there's going to be, anytime you say, well, now we're going to review everything, you get a lot more right, I guess, but you also might get a lot more long conversations to get it right.
So I think in the NFL, wasn't Sean Payton the main guy that was going to the league saying we have to fix this because they're the ones that it happened to?
Yeah.
So was it Doug Armstrong that's going to spearhead
probably
this and say?
Probably.
George McPhee, Sackick.
And whether, if not George McPhee, then owner Bill Foley in Vegas. So yeah, whoever's ox gets gored. And here's the thing, like, the general managers, as a rule, every year they discuss in Boca Raton, Florida, do you want this review? Do you want that review? Do you want more review? Do you want less review? And they're always like, no, we're okay. It's fine. Now, not every general manager feels that way, but the clear majority of them do feel they didn't want more video review. But, and I've talked about this for the better part of the playoffs now. All season long, we hate the offside review. Everybody's upset with the goaltending interference review, and there's been a movement, and I've certainly been a big part of it, of less video review is better. Like, we're getting to the point now where it's like you get a goal scored, you don't even know if it's a goal, and you're losing all the spontaneity in the game. So altruistically, we're like, well, wouldn't it be better to live with mistakes and have less video review? And I've kind of been beating that drum, and a lot of people have. Mm-hmm. And then the minute the playoffs started, I mean the virtual minute the playoffs started, everybody wants everything reviewed. Puck was off the net. It came down. Guy passed it, scored.
Yeah.
Well, can't review that. It's not in the rule book. Review it. Okay, defenseman shot the puck out. Did it hit the glass? Did it hit the other team on the way out? Don't know. Refs are up there talking. And the linesmen are talking, and they don't know, and we've just seen the play. Right. And they're like, just look at the video, idiot. Come on, yeah. This should take 2 seconds. Mm-hmm. Look at the video. So more video. The five-minute major on Cody Eakin.
Yep. Yeah.
Just look at the video.
Hand pass.
So it's a hand pass. And the Landeskog one, just look at the video. Look at the video. Look at the video. So we're ultimately going to officiate this game by video. And that's just the way technology and society and professional sports is going.
Well, I do feel like the momentum, you're right, it's pushing in that direction.
Right.
And I think it's just inevitable. It's something is going to change, or they're going to add some sort of opportunity. But I hate it personally, because I think it's inconsistent in terms of where you draw the line. It's easy to see it last night. Last night was an extreme example. It was a hand pass. Yeah. Should not have counted.
Yeah.
But, you know, I used an analogy earlier. Who's to say, odd man rush, let's say it's tonight. Marchand, Pastrnak, tie game, 30 seconds left, odd man rush, Slavin's the man back. Justin Williams, hauling ass. He could get back and close the gap, but Bergeron interferes with him in the neutral zone. Tic-tac-toe, back of the net.
Yeah, see,
Should that be reviewed?
Yeah, it won't be.
But why is that any less important?
Yeah, like, but that's where, you know, again, but you're right. You're absolutely right. Because you can always cut it finer and cut it finer and cut it finer.
Right.
And so now, hand pass in the offensive zone that leads directly to the goal, people are saying, call it. Just look at the video and disallow the goal. And that. Now, what happens if the hand pass is in the neutral zone and they play for 40 seconds and there's been all sorts of stuff's happened, but the play got continued on a missed illegal hand pass.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm surprised now, none of the linesmen like take a peek up at the scoreboard.
Well, they do. And there's no doubt in my mind. That's why in St. Louis they threw it up on the board right away.
Yeah. Oh, the home team knows exactly
that's
what
smart
throw,
to do,
throw
though.
It up, because the referees are like, okay, we're going to confer, and they're like,
we've got the horse eye going.
And they're like, we're not allowed to look at that.
Right. Well, the league could control that, though.
Yeah, but can't they just act like one of the linesmen say?
I think they have in the past. I think there have been some sneaky ones where it's like puck over glass, and they're talking, and they're like da da da, and they hear the crowd roar, and they're like, "Well, they just showed video. That must have been out." Like,
yeah. Right.
Maybe they did, but in this instance, you know what? And in fairness to them, they're always told the first thing they're told is call everything that's supposed to be called,
right.
And that. But the second thing is, don't make it up, don't guess. See, the guys in Vegas, they get San Jose in the San Jose Vegas game. I guess they kind of guessed a little.
Yeah.
Because they saw the cross check.
They saw the
cross check. They saw Pavelski go down. They saw the blood on the ice, and they're like, 5-minute major.
Right.
Okay. So they didn't miss the call. They
made up a
embellished
call.
Or made up
right.
the call to make
they,
it a 5-minute major.
To connect the dots.
Whereas these guys last night, they're saying, hey, listen, you can dump on us if you want, but we didn't see it. If we'd seen it, we would have called it. We're not cheaters. We're not liars. And people will say, well, they're incompetent then. Well, they're not incompetent. There's a great thread.
Yeah, I saw that. CHC referees had a really good thread.
I thought the very first thing I thought when I saw Jeanette behind the net in the video, I started thinking, what's his view look like right now? And then I just flipped it around from where Meyer was, and there were two St. Louis Blues and the goaltender directly in the line of Jeanette's view of that. So the low referee couldn't see it.
I thought the linesman had, like, they did show that the linesman didn't have a view either because
Jaden Schwartz
was in there.
Jaden Schwartz.
It is missed. I want to go back on this, though. Like, we're only talking about four or five things, right? Like,
the extreme examples.
But they're extreme examples.
Yeah.
But isn't there, I phrased it, an overriding supervisor with common sense clause?
Well, like, that's...
Could you not have... The voice of God, you know, from Toronto or wherever, like Kay Whitmore's in the building last night, I believe.
Well,
and he calls down and goes, this is a league decision, that's a mistake.
Yeah, absolutely. And what there's a whole bunch of levels to this, and I talked about it at length on the Bobcast that I did today.
Right.
We had a really prescient Bobcast listener who emailed on Monday about the officiating controversy of the playoffs, and he said rugby's got something called the TMO. And that is, I forget now what the TMO stands, television
monitoring,
official or whatever. And then soccer has the VAR, video assisted referee. And what it is, it's somebody who's another official,
right,
who has communication with the guys on the field, in the case of the rugby or whatever. And basically, he's there if they call up and say, hey, what happened on that? Who shot that puck out? Did it go directly out? He goes, yeah, went directly out. Okay, good. We know
so
it's a penalty.
Like an off-ice official. So
it's like an extra official who's got the access to the video. Kerry Fraser was just on TSN Radio in Edmonton, and he suggested there's a backup referee at every playoff game.
Yeah.
Why not put the backup referee in the press box with the video access on a headset, and anytime there is any question of what something going on here, the referee could go to the penalty box very quickly and just say to the guy upstairs, what's the scoop?
I think one of his colleagues, do it more seamless. Do it like the quarterback headpiece for the head referee.
Yeah.
Say, look, just
they're
so
working
it's seamless.
On,
it's like, that's no goal, yeah, hand pass.
Right.
They're working on that technology.
There is going to be bumps in the road, and that's where Brian keeps coming
exactly.
back.
Exactly. Where do you draw the line?
How about the gambling
line?
Site that are refunding people that bet on...
Well, yeah, you get that. A lot of that's just to save face because they want to keep the people betting with you. You know, they don't want you to be so jaded where you're like, I'm never going to gamble again.
Right.
But like, this guy's a degenerate. I'll give him a winning here at $20 and he's going to dump $2,000.
That's like I always hate when I get the, it's a television match official in rugby and the video assist referee in soccer.
But even
and
that
we're eventually headed down that road. Let's not kid anybody. That's where we're going to
go. So where's the limitation, though? That's again my concern.
You're right. We did the same thing. Matt Duchene, 9 feet offside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And people went ballistic. Read the stories now on Matt Duchene, Colorado Avalanche, 9 feet offside, and it was a regular season game,
right.
So different. But just substitute Timo Meier, hand pass for Matt Duchene, and then you can still leave the line in the last line of all the Matt Duchene stories. The play was not able to be video. Was not one of the criteria for video review in the NHL. The play last night is not one of the criteria for video review.
Right.
So we all said, the NHL said we're going to fix that. So they fixed it. Careful what you wish for.
But then it comes back to a skate lace and whose blade was up. Like it now it's a microcosm where, mm-hmm. and now you're looking to fix that rule that's been fixed.
But you want. The common sense rule. We all want the common sense rule. We all want
right.
There's something to be that says, just do it for the most obvious ones and make sure.
Right, but what is the most obvious? But, one?
Even
but
that's arbitrary.
Anybody else is going to be absolutely. Anybody else?
Because it's going to come back to the fan going, why the hell did they not see that hook in the neutral zone that led to right. that 2-on-1 to that? You
well,
know,
and that's
and
all,
why
that's
didn't what, the referee upstairs call down?
Exactly, and, because this is a sport where every game is officiated differently.
Yeah,
and you especially in the playoffs. So, you know, do you really want that? Do you want the guy in the sky saying, "I'm telling you, I saw a hook. Like I got to call it. Yeah. I don't care that they went the other way and the home team scored to tie it up with 15 seconds to go."
Right.
Do you want to run your business that way? Does anyone really want that?
I
don't think anybody actually does.
Right now, today, everybody does. Today, everybody does.
Everyone's irrational today.
But it's because of an egregious mistake. That's why. But I'm, you know, what Kerry Fraser has proposed, at least it's a resource with a guy in a video room that knows your, like he's a colleague.
Colleague, yes.
And, mm-hmm. and they can go, guys, we're going to the review, like we are going to the VAR or the TMO. And it doesn't have to be every time, because most of those refs are very confident in what they believe they saw.
Yeah.
But it never hurts to it's almost like phone a friend.
Yeah, exactly. And plus the other thing they could do is if there is a TMO or a VAR sitting up in the thing and he sees Eakin cross check and he looks at it and then he sees they're calling a major, he can buzz down and say, yeah. Tell O'Halloran and Furlatt to come here for a second. They come over and just say, "You guys are the refs, but that's not a major." Mm. But he just pushed him. He tripped. He fell. Banged his head on the ice.
It was a 2-minute if that. But you're right. Like they do it where the puck has gone in the net and the play continues.
Yeah.
League buzz.
Yeah,
league
buzz.
We saw a goal there, and they have to rewind the clock and that. But I believe in getting it right, but I've actually migrated back more to where Brian is leaning towards is like, and I think you, Bob, too, is where does the line get drawn?
Yeah.
But I do believe in extra help because of technology. So having a guy off the ice who has a different vantage point and has the vantage point of 20 cameras and slowing it down and looking at it to get an egregious call right, I'd be down for that, personally.
You guys played. You know how frustrating it is when a call goes against you.
Yeah.
Just heartbreaking comment. Just a heartbreaking comment.
It's been flying around.
It's been just one of, like,
it's
all
been so
week,
liberal
all
this week.
All week, every guest is like, Jamie, Jeff, you guys know. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Like he has no right to know.
And sometimes it's not even sports. The only you guys have been to New York. I've been to New York. Like, I can speak to that.
The reason why it's even funnier is because it started with JR, right?
Yes, yeah. Ronick said
so
it, yeah.
I was telling O the story. JR used to come in and do our playoff, so he was in studio on the panel.
Right.
Yeah.
And so there was a headshot that night, and we were debating the headshot, him and I.
Listen to this.
And so I'm like, well, you know, I think it's a major, it should be a suspension, and JR's, no, whatever, and that. And he goes in, like, he goes, honestly, Bob, I understand you've got your opinion, but you never played the game. He said that. He said that on the air, and I go, well, JR, if that's going to be your rebuttal to my argument, I'm going to lose that every time, I said, because I can't fabricate a National Hockey League playing career.
Right, exactly.
And that. But so then we went off air, and I wasn't too thrilled. And I get along great with JR. I work with him at NBC. He's a great guy and everything else. But so now, off air, on the break, I said, okay, JR, so you're telling me because you played, your opinion on this is far more valid than my opinion, and I never played. He goes, that's correct. I said, okay, so riddle me this then. Does that mean you were a great hockey player, terrific hockey player, but like, what if you and Bobby Orr were sitting there? No, what if you and what if you and Bobby Orr were sitting there and Bobby disagreed with you, would his opinion be trump yours because he's such a better hockey player than you? He's Bobby Orr.
Right.
Yeah.
You're Jeremy Roenick. That's good, but Bobby Orr, come on, that's the gold standard. And he goes, yeah, for sure. Yeah, for sure it would. And I said, okay, good. I said, well, I was talking to Bobby earlier today, and he thinks it's a suspension too. So he's got the same opinion as me. I'm right, you're wrong.
There you go. That's so a trump funny. Card.
That's awesome.
Listen, man, it happens. It comes up.
We joke about it. And in fairness, though, because Dwayne Casey.
That's where I get you guys.
Has
back.
A love affair for Brian. He doesn't even know our names.
Yeah. Nor does he want to.
No. But he's like, thanks, Brian. Love you. You know, like all of these things.
Brian.
It's a good point, Brian. So it goes both ways. And when he goes
good question,
hockey,
Brian.
Yeah, with hockey, it's tough, though.
Well,
You know what is the most heartbreaking? It's not even like the, hey, you guys played the game, or you've been to that rink, even though maybe I've been there. It's on the way out, where it's like, all right, thanks for doing this. We'll catch up down the road. All right. Oh, Noodles, good talking to you guys. It's like, I was a part of the conversation.
You were driving the bus the whole time.
The whole time. 80% of the questions came out of my mouth.
I would agree with you. I would be pissed if if somebody said, you know, New York City, Noodles, you've been to New York City. And it's like, what, you've never been?
Yeah,
you can't
been
comment
there.
On a town?
Right, yeah. Exactly.
It's classic.
Anyways, we had that one set up.
So. Yeah, that's a good one.
That was great.
It's been a tough week for me. The confidence has been adjusted a little bit. Anyway. Well, listen, I think if you're in St. Louis, you got to get over it. It's 2-1. Yeah. You know, the series is still going on.
One thing they've done is they've responded to every situation very well.
Yeah.
And I
think they'll win game four.
Yeah, and I thought Craig Berube handled it very well.
It's how you handle the adversity. I mean, Vegas didn't handle the 5-minute major very well.
They
give up a record-setting 4 goals. I mean, right. At some point, there's a little bit of responsibility on the team to kill a penalty.
Yeah. Well, last night, the Blues, 4-3.
They're winning 4-3 with a minute left. So they're not in that position.
If
you close the game out. Or Pietrangelo. Who else missed the wide-open net? Schwartz, I think.
Mm-hmm. Well, and also in the second, there was that blatant puck over glass. Like, it wasn't even close.
Yeah.
And they got away with it.
Yeah.
So, you know, generally speaking, what goes around comes around. San Jose... they have benefited from three.
Well, it might
happen
if they make
decisions.
It to the finals. They may get one that goes against them.
They probably are deserving
it
of
might,
that.
Yeah,
but anyway, all right, Bob. Good.
All right,
you,
good talking to you. Oh, good talking to you.
Thanks for joining us in studio and your buddies over here. There's Bob McKenzie at TSN Hockey Insider. Get your best bets brought to you by ProLine. Overdrive continues with Brian Hayes on TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. Now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. I'm on the under in the Jays game tonight. I think Marcus Stroman is going to make something happen tonight. Under in the Twins-Mariners game tonight. I'm on the Padres out on the West Coast. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio. And get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game. So we got game 2 of the Western Final in the NBA. Game 4 of the Eastern Final. And
Fergler has come out with a comment regarding position players for the Bruins. Noodles.
I can neither confirm or deny that.
Matt Porter, who is a Bruins reporter down there, said the Bruins PR will not confirm or deny report that Chara won't play tonight.
I can neither confirm or deny that.
Me thinking tomorrow is an excellent day.
For
confirm or deny.
We haven't.
I can neither confirm
it's
or deny
been a
that.
While.
We haven't played it in a while.
I can neither confirm or deny that.
Okay, we might have to. I mean, Fergie has just infiltrated that front office, the whole organization now.
They talk like him.
Yeah. I mean, Don Sweeney or Cam Neely probably could have stepped in and say, hey, don't drop a confirm or deny, but maybe Fergie sent the message down. Maybe Fergie is the messenger in the end.
I think, that's what he's...
Who knows?
They want to keep it under wraps, but... If Big Z doesn't play tonight, you know, the Bruins still have... I mean, it's toughest to win your fourth game of a series. And I think Carolina's got a lot of pride. They're going to give everything they can here tonight at the Bruins. I could see them winning tonight.
You can?
Carolina.
I think they'll have a hot start.
We'll see how that goes.
Could be a low-scoring win tonight with a dummying back in Boston.
I don't know. I can't get a feel for it. I've predicted everything wrong. I mean, at Christmas, I like San Jose, but San Jose's had they've played fantastic, but they've had a very
lucky,
unique
man.
Path.
Yeah. They got lucky.
Very unique.
I might not be able to cash my future. They might, like MGM just will say, that's not happening.
Yeah.
Vegas alone, the fact that the 5-minute major and everything that played out there
that's
in the first round.
You may have to fight for your win.
Yeah, I might have to. Might have to get back down there. We'll see. But, I think, you know, Boston's going to get through, whether it's tonight or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, they're a veteran team. They may just come out and lock it down and win.
Yeah. Well, and I think they look at the other series. I think it's going 6 or 7.
Yeah.
You win tonight, you're sitting at home for a week.
You get some rest on guys who are nicked up, guys like Chara. And The other thing I would point out, I know Marchand scored the game-winning goal, but that top line hasn't been as dominant. It's been
Pasternak has been MIA.
Right, so you...
Ever since that Leafs series, he's just...
Even against the Leafs, he wasn't like he wasn't spectacular.
He wasn't dominant, no.
He's okay. And they moved him around the lineup.
Yeah, they moved him around the lineup.
Yeah.
But like that, DeBrusk is a player that, like, we've talked
about. Yeah, they're a really good team.
They've got a good
team. Who do you think's favorite in the Cup Final? Bruins or one of the teams in the West?
For some reason, I almost think if it was St. Louis, it might be Boston, and if it's San Jose, it might be a pick'em.
I still think it'll be a pick'em between those three. Like it's, I could see all three of them winning, and for any reason.
Out of all of them, though, I see Boston winning. Out of all the teams left, four teams, I see them winning.
I still like San Jose. I've liked them for a long time. I think people just get so focused on Joe Thornton.
People, that means bet it on San Jose. Noodles, you did that last year with Wash, where we were calling them garbage.
Yeah, but I've been on the same. He bet
bail on it now.
He bet San Jose. You bet a future on it.
Just to get to a Cup Final, I need two more wins.
But I like that was
Shout
Christmas.
Out to,
I liked
hand
it.
Pass.
So I've liked them for a long time.
Actually, you know what's funny is I'm in the running. I'm in my fantasy pool that I understand nobody cares about. But I have Timo Meier, and they gave him an assist last night.
He got an assist for the hand pass.
That's greasy.
A hand pass assist.
It is quite greasy.
To chalk up another point.
You can't give him that assist.
I think that probably should be retracted.
Yeah.
Like, I guess.
That is a grease ball move.
Yeah.
Well, he technically did assist on that goal.
Yeah, legally, illegally, it doesn't matter now.
But it was a savage comment by Carlson. Carlson was like, I don't know if you saw his media. He was like, yeah, we're not playing handball out here. And he tried to keep a straight face. And Thornton beside him kind of almost chewed his lip off.
Right.
Like, it was
like watch.
Kind of a savage comment.
Yeah,
like, you're in St. Louis. You've got to be careful there because he won, you know, he
scored
two goals.
Don't poke that bear, man.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
But he did. He made that little snide comment.
Well, he had a good game last night.
We're going to break everything down tomorrow.
Trunk slamming.
At 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.